So, kids, I got a really tough one for you today. I got a really, really tough one for you to draw today. So, you're going to have to listen really close to what we're going to be describing here about what you got your little assignment for me. Go ahead, kids, have a seat. All right. So, there is paper and crayons in the back of the auditorium. So, if you need any, there's stuff there for you. Let me tell you a story, and this story is about one of Jesus' disciples, and you'll know his name. His name is Peter. Some of you will remember Peter. What do you remember about Peter? What do we know about Peter? He walked on water. All right, yeah, we'll go with that. Everybody talks about, you know, stuff like, what do you expect me to do, walk on water? And it's like, only Jesus walked on water. Well, actually, that's not quite true. Peter walked on water too. So yeah, Peter was a disciple that walked on water. And after Jesus was resurrected and went to heaven, Peter was ministering the gospel around. And he was visiting this one guy's house. And in those days, if you wanted to cool down, you went up on the roof. You know, nowadays we go on the porch or the patio and everything. But back then you went up on the roof. And so he's on the roof waiting for dinner. And he falls into a trance, and he has this vision from heaven. And he has a vision of this huge sheet coming down. So kids, you got to listen carefully, because you got to draw this big sheet coming down. And on it are all kinds of animals. All right, now think about the different kinds of animals there are. Think like Noah's Ark kind of thing. You know, lots of different kinds of animals. And as the sheet came down with all those animals, Peter heard a voice out of heaven that said, "Peter, kill and eat," which is one of my friends who likes to barbecue. It's one of his favorite sayings. But anyway, he hears a voice from heaven, "Peter, kill and eat." Now, you have to understand that Peter was raised in a Jewish tradition where they only ate kosher foods, which meant some meats you can eat, and some you're not allowed to eat. And since the sheet had all kinds of animals, there were some animals on there that he wasn't allowed to eat. And being a good Jewish son, he said, "By no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Common and unclean. And the voice from heaven said, "What God has made clean, don't call unclean." And we're going to learn a little bit later on in this message is God wasn't really talking about eating animals here. God was talking about accepting other people. People that maybe aren't like us. So, anyway, your assignment, kids, is get those crayons, get that paper out, and you're going to draw me a picture of Peter on a roof having a trance, and in the thing, you have a sheet coming down, and put as many animals as you can think of. I mean, I'm thinking lions and tigers and bears and giraffes and all kinds of different animals. Whatever you think, your favorite animal goes up on there, you know? So that's your assignment. Okay, kids, everybody knows what you got to do. All right, great. You get started on that. And with that, I'm going to go into the message here. And you kids can listen in, because there's going to be bits and pieces that you're you're probably going to need as I go through the story here. A couple weeks ago when we were talking about Philip and how he was going around telling people the good news about Jesus Christ. And as you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came on the scene and he turned the world upside down, such that to this day, when we go counting the days, when we think about the calendar, we look at the calendar and we say, well, today is May 31st, 30th, or 31st. 31st, May 31st, 2020. And why do we say 2020? Because we started counting when Jesus came on the scene. All right? So he was crucified for the sins of the world and was resurrected from the dead. Peter is one of the witnesses of that resurrection, and he went about speaking about after Jesus' resurrection about what Jesus had done. And according to Acts chapter 9, verse 31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So we remember last week, or a couple weeks ago when we were talking about how the church originally got started, it just stayed in Jerusalem, just stayed in one place. Then it started getting spread out because of persecution. And then Peter, one of the original 12 disciples, also was involved in the spread of the gospel. It says in chapter 9, verse 32, says, now as Peter went here and there among them all, he also came down to the saints who lived at Lydia. And he actually ministered in this area called Lydia. So they're moving out from Jerusalem. All right, now if you will, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. And if you don't have your Bible, just listen in. It's a very lengthy chapter. I'm going to read the whole thing. And you all know why I read the whole thing. I just don't like taking things out of context. I think it's nice to have the whole story. And you know something? The Bible is an incredible book. It's got all these stories in them. They're true stories. They're incredible stories. And even something I may read to you now may speak to you more than even my message that the Lord gave me to speak. So anyway, so our prayer today is that the Holy Spirit would give revelation to you as I read to you from His Word. So in Acts chapter 10, it starts out like this. At Caesarea, there is a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants, devout soldier from among whom attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. All right, so you get the picture. He has this vision of an angel, and now he sends his servants to Joppa. The next day, as they were on a journey and approached the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And when he had become hungry, he wanted something to eat. While they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opening and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who is called Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Arise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, has directed by the Holy Spirit, our holy angel, to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he arose and went away with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or even visit anyone from another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I came without objection. I ask why you sent for me." Then Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house about the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in a house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear what you have been commanded by the Lord.'" So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. For the word he has sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him, and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from all from among the circumcision who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues, extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain some days. Let's stop there and pray. Father God, we come before you having read this word, and now, Lord, we pray you quicken to our hearts what you would have us understand from this message, how you would have us structure our lives, what you would have us do. Guide us and direct us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like I said, I love a good story, and that is a really good one. It's very telling about how the Jewish people were, how there were their understanding of what God's law was all about. So now let's take it apart. Let's think about exactly what God is trying to speak to us here. First of all, we have God directing the church. And by the way, if you're taking notes and you need a title for this message, the title is Having Another Thought. And so I want us as a people to have another thought about things. So we have God directing the church. And it says in Acts 10, verse 3, let me reread this part to you. "About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come and say to him, 'Cornelius.' And he stared at him in terror and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea.'" So here we have an angel visiting somebody who is not Jewish. So you think, you know, in the Old Testament there was appearances of angels, and even in the New Testament we have appearances of angels who are messengers of God speaking to people. But here's this guy, he's not Jewish. So even right from the start, that's got to be kind of upsetting to the Jewish mindset. And let me offer this to you. God's hand's not short. He's going to use whatever means are at his availability. And I have heard stories of angels appearing to people in faraway countries speaking about the things of God to people who are of another faith. A matter of fact, this one story was related in a message by Ravi Zacharias. And if you haven't ever heard of Ravi Zacharias, he's a man originally from India who actually came to Canada and then the United States. And he is a Christian apologist. And that doesn't mean that he goes around apologizing. That means he goes around proving that the Word of God is true. And he's been on debates and everything, and he started something called RZIM Ministries. Less than 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, he passed away. He had stomach cancer and passed away at the age of 74, which is, to me, a great detriment to the things of God and the kingdom of God. But that said, there is a push in my heart to, hey, you know what? We need others to stand up in the gap that he is leaving. He's, you know, obviously big shoes to fill. I'm sure we all felt the same way when Billy Graham passed away. But the fact of the matter is, we all are going to face death at some point unless the Lord returns within our lifetime. And that said, we have to continually look to who else is God raising up. And it may be somebody in this very room. But anyway, the story goes like this. There was a man in the Middle East that was have visions and dreams about Jesus Christ. And every night, this was happening. And he was not a Christian. He was a person from another faith. And so he's having these visions about Jesus Christ, or these dreams about Jesus Christ. And it really, it's frustrating him and driving him crazy. And finally, he meets somebody from Asia who was a Christian. And the Christian explained to him the reality of who Jesus is. And so this man, even though he was from the Middle East and was of a different faith, he accepted Jesus. When his mother found out, his mother said, you better leave the country, because if your brothers find out, they're going to kill you. So he left the country and through some means actually met with Ravi Zacharias. And so when Ravi Zacharias met him, he said, what has changed in your life since you met Jesus Christ? And he said, well, the first thing, I don't have those dreams anymore. And Ravi's wife said, yeah, you have the reality of Jesus Christ in your life now. So you don't need the dreams. So we see how God uses all these different means. And that is happening to this day. And when you look at this passage, you have to kind of marvel at how the extent God gave to make this thing happen. First of all, you've got Cornelius, who he's a God-fearing man, but he doesn't know about Jesus. He gives alms to the poor. He prays to God, but he doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know how his sins can be dealt with. And then you have Peter, who is starting to minister outside of the realm of Judea, outside of that area where Jewish people dwelled, into different areas. But still in his mindset, in his Jewish mindset, very, very much, hey, I'm going to be limited to just speaking to Jewish people. Then we have a vision that he has. And so here you have Cornelius having a vision of an angel, Peter having a vision of the sheet, and then you have Cornelius sending his servants down to get Peter. You have Peter receiving these visitors and going with them. So you had several things that had to take place for this meeting of Cornelius and Peter to take place. All God ordained, but any one of them could have been short-circuited by the decision of man. And that tells me the importance of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. We really have to be sensitive to what God is speaking to us. So we have Peter's vision. And just this is a little bit of an aside. They say don't go shopping while you're hungry. Okay? Well, this tells you what can happen when you're fasting and praying. But anyway, Acts 10 verse 10 says, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opening and something like a great sheet descending, being led down by its four corners upon the earth. And on it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. You remember those words, common or unclean. And the voice came a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times and the thing was taken away. Now, what he's talking about common and unclean is something that we would know today as being kosher. The Jewish people, and actually my understanding is Muslim people too, also eat kosher, which means they only eat animals that based on the law of Moses are allowed. And those animals are those that either have cloven hoofs or chew their cud, and those are considered kosher. And that would include goats, cows, sheep, antelope, deer, giraffes. I don't know. Yeah, we got the picture up there. Also included would be chickens, ducks, turkeys. My wife and I had antelope this week. So that would be considered kosher. Animals that are not kosher would be pigs because they don't chew their cud, rabbits because they don't have cloven hoofs, any fish without scales or fins. So do you like catfish? Sorry. You like lobster? Sorry. You like shellfish, clams and stuff like that? That would be not considered kosher. Where turkey, goose, duck, chicken are allowed, other birds, like quail and stuff like that, would not be considered. So, and this is the point I was trying to bring up with the kids. What does this have to do with people? Well, God is trying to make a point that we should accept everyone. We should accept everyone. And I look like everybody else. My kids look like everybody, or most other people in the United States, the majority of the people in the United States. But the fact of the matter is my parents came from a different country. And even though they are Dutch, they actually came from Indonesia. So if I was Indonesian ethnically, I would look a lot different than I would now. But they actually came from another country. And there are people in our country today that have come to us from other countries. And they may have different shape of eyes, different skin tones. We're all really shades of brown, aren't we? Just different shades of brown. But that said, we all tend to like to hang with people that look like us. And Peter was no doubt one of those kind of people. He just kind of liked hanging out with people that looked like him. And the fact of the matter is, God wanted to break him away from that. And I think God wants to break us away from that, and to start accepting people from different cultures with different skin tones. I mean, it's interesting because, some of the things I grew up eating, for some of you Native Americans, you probably say, "Man, that sounds disgusting." Like a Dutch recipe called stumpelt. Maybe Bethany remembers or Ryan remembers stumpelt that my father used to make, and that it looked like something from the movie The Exorcist. But anyway, it looked really bad. But it tasted great. My dad was nice enough to make it into, break it into different portions for my one son who wouldn't eat it all mixed together. But anyway, the idea being accepting people from different cultures and accepting people, who maybe eat different things and whatever. And, in our Declaration of Independence as the United States, in our Declaration of Independence are the words that all men are created equal. And that's not saying men and not women. That's saying men meaning mankind. We're all created equal. But still we have to work We have to work at accepting others. And that is something we all have to do. Because let's face it, we're all raised with, you know, certain stereotypes or certain things based on things that maybe have happened to us in the past. And if a person from a certain culture cheated you in the past, maybe you're going to put them in a certain category or whatever. And the thing is, we got to give everybody a chance. We got to look in the heart of God and see that God wants every tribe and tongue in heaven. And Peter got that. He said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Any nation. That means ethnos. That means ethnic groups. Peter had learned the lesson finally, but you know, the fact of the matter is, Jesus had told them this before he left the earth. He said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," ethnos, all ethnic groups, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So the idea there is we still need to get the gospel out to all ethnic groups. And there are some ethnic groups on this planet to this day that haven't heard. My hope is that through the internet and through people transplanting themselves into other cultures, and also for these different ethnic groups coming to the U.S., that the gospel could go forth through all nations on the earth. So let's look at the message that Peter has. And I like sermons in the Bible. Because, you know, every week I prepare a sermon, right? So the idea is I want to pick up pointers from the experts, you know. And that's how you do it. You read what the experts do. So let's take a look at what Peter's message is. And you may use this in terms of presenting the gospel. And we've talked about this before, what, like, for instance, Philip did. And here we're going to look at what Peter did. So first of all, Peter talks about the history of Jesus. He starts the message talking about Jesus. Very simple thing. I did it earlier, talking about Jesus. What year is it? Why do you suppose we use A.D.? Where does that come from? Obviously, Jesus has impacted the world. He should be a well-known figure. But a lot of people, just like we may have different things about certain cultures, some people may have certain things about Jesus. They may have different views on Jesus, or maybe things that maybe they have a bad taste in their mouth, maybe how Jesus was presented to them at one point, or maybe how they were treated by a Christian or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, so Peter talks to Cornelius, and remember, we're Christ Connection Church, so we're all about connecting dots, right? We make the connection. So Peter starts connecting the dots of what they know. And he starts out by saying, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed." So he starts out talking about, hey, you guys obviously have heard about Jesus Christ. And that's a good place to start with any person. What do you know about Jesus Christ? Then he starts talking about the crucifixion. And he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. So then he brings up the whole idea of the crucifixion, that Jesus was crucified. Then he talks about the resurrection. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And later on, we hear from one of Paul's letters that there's like 400 different people who had witnessed Jesus after he had died, that he indeed had risen from the dead. And then finally, Peter speaks how believing in Jesus is a remedy of sin. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Every one of us has a sin problem. We all have done things that displease God. So God has a way of fixing that problem. He has placed that sin debt upon his son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now, our only response is to believe or not believe. You can receive Jesus Christ's death on the cross as payment for your sins or not. You have that choice. And anyone in the world has a choice. And that part of the message evidently was missing from Cornelius. And I love how Cornelius did things. I mean, he just didn't have Peter come to him in secret and talk to him, just the two of us kind of thing. He invited all his relatives and friends. So when Peter gets there, he's speaking to a whole group of people. And whatever happened in terms of Peter's message, and we may not have the entire thing, but we have the essence of it. They believed. And that is what it takes to become a Christian. It's believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for your sins. You know, we all talk about how people have come to the faith. And, sometimes we focus in on this prayer. We invite people to come forward and say, hey, I'll pray with you right here to receive Jesus Christ. And we worry about this thing we call the sinner's prayer. When in fact, sometimes people respond to the gospel message and stand up to come forward to receive Christ, but the moment they stood up, they've already received Jesus because they believed in him enough to want to come forward. You know, some people maybe just come forward to find out, but there's some people right in their pews have already received Jesus Christ. And, I've said this before, you just never know how that's going to work in a group of people because you can have a group of people and the primary person you want to share the gospel with does not receive Christ, but somebody else in the room does. In this case, a lot of people receive Jesus Christ. And it says in Acts 10, verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. How do they know the Holy Spirit fell on them? The Holy Spirit is invisible, right? How do you know the Holy Spirit fell on them? Well, it goes on to explain. And the believers from among the circumcised, meaning the Jewish people, who had come with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Okay, they're seeing something take place. What is it that they're seeing? For they're hearing them speaking in tongues, extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have?" They get baptized by the Holy Spirit on the spot. They start speaking in tongues on the spot, extolling God. Testimony enough to Peter, these people have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They deserve to be welcomed into the fold that we now call Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. So there was no question to receiving them fully as believers in Jesus Christ. All right, so what do we have here? A couple things I want to end with. You know, I told you that this message's title is Having Another Thought. Having Another Thought. And I'm going to do a little play on words because when we have another thought, we think differently about things. And we certainly need to think differently about other people. So I thought I'd end with some scriptures that talk about one another. One another. And what our heart should be toward one another. And here are some scriptures on one another's in the Bible. In John 13, verse 34, it says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." How do we measure love? Greater love has no one than this, and they lay down their life for their friends. And that is the heart that God wants us to have to one another. So when we see others, keep in mind, we need to love one another. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 says this, that there be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. I see a lot of care for one another, especially as it comes across texts. Because somebody sends out a text about praying for somebody, and my cell phone starts going ping, ping, ping. And all these people are praying. And I love that about this church, because I really do sense that we do care for one another. And that's a huge thing. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it says in the scriptures that when one hurts, we all hurt. A matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks to the Corinthian church about being members of one body and how we all have different functions within the body. One's a hand, one's an eye, one's an ear, you know, and we all have different functions, but we are still all one body. So if you stub your toe, even though the eye is saying, well, I'm not hurting, the eye is shedding a few tears because that toe is really hurting. All right? Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, be kind to one another. You know, sometimes we can love one another and yet not be kind to one another. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we can love one another. Oh, I'd give my life for that person. But we're not always so kind to one another. So sometimes we've got to put the other person's shoes on and kind of maybe communicate things in a different way and in a more acceptable way, in a way that they can receive. We need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, I hear people that have tough situations at work, you know, coworkers and stuff like that. I have a similar situation. I have some people that are difficult to deal with at work, but I forgive them, and we work together as a team. So I don't hold things that, oh, this person said this to me way back when, and I'm going to get them for that. No. I'm going to forgive them and move on, because what? We got to work together as a team. We got a job to do. We got a job to do. So we got to forgive one another. And as Christians, we should really excel. We should excel at forgiving because we understand what it's like to be forgiven, right? That old parable about the servant, you know, who, you know, his master forgave him this huge debt, you know, like a $6 million debt. And then he goes and beats up another servant because he basically owed him a lunch or lunch money or whatever. Come on. We should understand what it's like to be forgiven, so we should excel in forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5, verse 21 talks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Sometimes we have positions within the body of Christ, and we have to submit to one another. You know, it's so funny. As a pastor, one time I had delegated this one, it was a single mom's oil change that we were doing over at one of the oil car parts places. And I had delegated it to this other brother, and I didn't like how he was running it. So you know what I did? I kept my mouth shut. I just kept my mouth shut because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to micromanage him. And it all worked out. It all worked out. But sometimes we just got to submit to one another out of love, out of reverence for Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? And then finally, 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Sometimes people just kind of show up at your doorstep, and it's like, don't grumble, don't complain. This could be a God-ordained moment. Could be a God-ordained moment. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But we need to have that concern for one another. And particularly in the area of people that maybe aren't like us. We've got to grow. Peter learned the hard way, but he learned the lesson. Think of how the church would have been differently. Anybody here from Jewish descent? All right, a couple people there. It's only two in a room full of like 30. So if you're not from Jewish descent, oh my goodness, what would that mean to you today? But God's intent always that that message go beyond just the Jewish people to all nations. And thank goodness that happened. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray all of us would extend ourselves a little bit beyond what we're used to, Lord God, in terms of the people we're used to hanging with, Lord. I know we like to hang with people that are like us, Lord, but I just pray that you'd help us to go beyond that and to reach out to people that maybe are a little bit different and to welcome them into the faith, Lord God, to present them with the good news that we received about Jesus Christ. Lord God, I just pray that you help us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. You gave us your Holy Spirit for a purpose. Lord God, help us not squander that gift. Lord God, I just pray that you bless the remainder of this day, this next week to us. Help us to be your hands and feet on this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you all next week. Glad you're all here. Glad you're all here over the internet. We'll see you next time.